Love Wins pastor gets drunk and pees on a woman mid-flight. And did God tell us we can't judge those outside of the church? Yes and no. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we get weird. Well, not us specifically, but we're going to talk about some weird stuff going on in, well, not in North Carolina, but with somebody from North Carolina. And I wanted to talk about a topic specifically to scripture concerning a verse that I've seen used over and over again. I've seen sent to us over and over again from fellow Christians. Some I don't believe are well-meaning and some that are well-meaning and may just be confused, especially when any text is isolated. So I want to talk about those things, but I wanted to tell you guys, thank you so much. We are honestly stunned. That I think that would be the best word. We had a couple of people bring up to us and said, hey man, we'd love for you guys to start a Patreon. Someone actually wrote on YouTube, hey, do you guys have a Patreon? I love to find different ways to support you guys with everything you're doing. And watching the podcasts grow like they have, and little hint, we're switching over to video soon too. Not just switching, we're gonna be adding that as well, that you guys are gonna be able to actually see us talk here and there, which is gonna be really cool. But see all the people that have joined us on Patreon. You guys can do that at patreon.com/goodfight. That's easy enough to remember, right? And I just wanted to say thanks, because it really shows that you guys, not that I didn't know that anyways from reading your guys' emails and the things that you all write in. It's been such a blessing as a ministry to grow the way that we have. This, I know for me, fasting and praying for the last 3 years, I would say the last 3 years, but we've still been doing that. I try to fast at least once a week if I can, but one of the things that before this show started was for 3 years, Tony, myself, we would talk all the time. Hey guys, we're up front on a lot of the issues where people want to hear what we're talking about. And the one thing that we're behind the eight ball, so to speak, when it comes to our ministry was we don't have a podcast show. And they're like, well, we have a podcast that goes out for Blessed Hope Chapel that, you know, Sundays and Wednesdays, you know, so you get a couple teachings. But I was like, yeah, but we're not dealing with events, even though Joe does a lot of times in his message. We're not dealing with events coming up. We're not dealing with those questions. You can't do that as a pastor, just answer every single question that gets sent to you. Neither can we, even as a podcast show. But it gives us more opportunities, especially in our format. So I wanted to thank you guys so much for coming alongside of us. I've been able to also to travel the country thanks to Brothers in Christ that have donated their time and money as well to get us out with teams sharing the gospel. And this is just, I want to give a quick praise report, because you guys have been an awesome blessing to me. I see the encouraging messages all the time. Every Friday, I think that a show comes out, I see multiple people just sending a blessing and just saying how much the show means to them. My pastors are now writing in. And then also with the Good Fight Radio show, I mean, we just moved up. I sent Tony a thing. We moved up to number 66 on Chartable around the entire world in faith and spirituality. That includes atheist podcast shows and Buddhist and yoga and all this stuff. And we're number 66 in the world on Good Fight Radio show. And 5:11 News, which is only one show a week, is up at 120 in the entire world concerning faith and spirituality. So we are so blessed, and that's because of you guys sharing these things and you guys getting the word out. And this isn't just, I didn't even have it in my notes to talk about this, but I was just blessed this morning. I sent a text early to Tony and Joe and Doug, and I said, guys, I just want to say, look at this. This is so awesome. God is so good. And so I just want to give you guys that praise report. You guys are a blessing to us. Thank you guys. Anyways, with all that, we want to talk about, like I said, let's get a little weird. And it's uncomfortable to talk about, but this is sad. And I want to bring this up because I posted this on the Good Fight Ministries Facebook page. And a lot of people were pretty disgusted. They had their own theories of what was going on there concerning what took place. But another thing that happened was somebody said, hey, I love your ministry, but you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be, you shouldn't be exposing that this happened. And I want to point this out. This is all over secular news. Guys, when we see something wicked taking place and the rest of the world gets to talk about it and Christians are supposed to stay silent, I don't think so. Right? When somebody falls into grievous sin, and we recognize that they were already in grievous sin, and we're going to talk about because they're a false teacher, there's very few grievous sins much worse than being a false teacher. But nonetheless, we want to bring it out and say, hey, this is why this happens. This happens because bad doctrine leads to bad living. If you watch your life and your doctrine, as Paul told Timothy, he will save himself and those who hear him. It is important that you don't just talk and tell people good moral codes to do. It's important that you recognize you live for Jesus, completely 100% crucified to Jesus, crucified to the world, I'm sorry, making sure that you are saying, hey, right now, I have been crucified. My old man is dead. I'm going to walk in Christ. And a proper understanding of doctrine will lead you to a place that, guess what? Will lead you to a place of right living. And so that's what we want to have. And we want to make sure that that takes place. So when we are disobedient, and this is something I've talked about to a number of people, I remember having a discussion with someone who said, well, I just, 1 Timothy 2, when it comes to women pastors, and this is not a message about women pastors, but 1 Timothy 2 is about women pastors. So, I don't really think that's for us. I think he was just mad about them not being good at teaching at that time, even though when you go to the text, it clearly goes right back to the order of creation. And there's nothing where you see any allowance of women pastoral ministry after that. But nonetheless, they'll see that. And I say immediately with that person, I have reservations because I'm wondering if you can be disobedient to that specific text. I understand people can be confused sometimes, but when you are just absolute disobedience to any specific text, I cannot trust your viewpoint on any other text. When you act as though homosexuality is a gray area, well, we have no idea. I don't trust you anywhere else concerning the scriptures, right? That's something that we have to recognize. And when I don't trust you concerning those issues, I don't think you should be a shepherd. I don't think that you should be someone leading a flock, because the Bible says you need to if you are an elder, pastor, teacher, bishop, so forth, and all the other synonyms. What you need to do is be able to teach with sound doctrine and refute those who do not. So when someone from a church called Love Wins, which immediately made my head go, wait, what's going on here? Love Wins is the name of your church in North Carolina, Mr. Daniel Chalmers. That's interesting because there's a book called Love Wins written by Rob Bell. And that book, when he says love, it's not the biblical love, because biblical love also has justice. Biblical love also abhors that which is evil. And that is not the love that is winning here. The love that is winning here is the love of the world. Because what happens is we have a faulty view here in the person of Rob Bell when it comes to Love Wins, when it comes to universalism, which is what is taught in the book Love Wins by Rob Bell. Now, I'm not 100% certain, I just want to put this out there, I'm not 100% certain that's where he got the name, but it's very interesting that you would have a church with the exact same name as a book written by a heretic. And I want to point this out first and foremost before we get into the event that took place, and I want to deal with his doctrine first, because then we can talk about what happened. Because specifically, when you have Love Wins, and that love means that God does not judge sin, right? And you believe that every person, eventually love will win and every single person will end up in heaven. It is just a lie, and love rejoices in the truth, and that is false. So I have to abhor it because that's evil, because it gives people false hope and those people end up going to hell. Now I'm looking at Tony as he's just coming upon the website for Daniel Chalmers. And as I look at him, he is shaking his head because he's looking at his spiritual leaders on there. And I know you're seeing some famous names, so I'm gonna get to that in a second. But Daniel Chalmers, when you go to Love Wins and you see some of the people and the influences that he has, two of the names that popped out right in my face, outside of Love Wins being the name and probably having a tie there with Rob Bell, is a couple of names you've probably heard on recent podcasts, Heidi Baker and Shay On, two of the New Apostolic Reformation false teachers. And you see those names and you recognize immediately, not just, it's bad enough, we talked about Jack Hibbs having him come and Shay on video at his event that he was throwing, talk about the hero that Jack Hibbs is to him, and you got pictures of them together. But we're now talking about somebody saying in the other way, these are my heroes, these are my spiritual champions, these are the ones that have helped garnered my faith. And it's like, dude, no wonder you fall into this weird stuff. And I'm not saying he did this on purpose, but we're gonna read about it. And by the way, let's keep kind of just putting this out there. Not only does he have these spiritual heretics that are over him, so to speak, but he was trained at Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. And guys, if you have not yet and you listen to 511 News, go watch our 4/5-part series on Bethel. And Shay On is involved in episode 5 when we show the wizardry going on there at Bethel. And I'd love for you guys to check that out and see it. And it'd be a blessing if you guys did. But nonetheless, guys, when we look at Mr. Chalmers himself, we recognize that this man is not a true teacher of the Word of God. And so when we see weird stuff coming out, and it seemed like they were trying to hide who was involved here concerning this event that took place, and I'm going just to read it because it just gets weird. As reported earlier by the Roys Report, federal and state authorities have withheld the identity of the pastor who allegedly urinated on a passenger since issuing him a citation for a misdemeanor on October 13th. And this is on julieroys.com. According to the report, an off-duty police officer on the Delta flight saw Chalmers get up from his seat around 2:44 a.m. and walk towards the tail of the aircraft. In the report, the officer states that Chalmers appeared to be awake, but yet walking as if he had just woke up or was dealing with the pitch of the aircraft as he sidestepped momentarily. About 30 seconds later, the officer says a woman behind him let out a blood-curdling scream. The officer said he then observed Chalmers standing next to him, Alicia Beverly. In the report, Beverly states that she woke up feeling something warm on her body. When she looked up, she saw Chalmers standing next to her with his privates exposed. Beverly said Chalmers had urinated on her. When initially confronted by the flight crew, Chalmers said that he had peed on the woman because he thought he was going to the bathroom, the officer states in the report. However, the officer said that when he identified as an officer and asked Chalmers for identification, Chalmers refused to give it and immediately stated, "I didn't do it." When the officer asked Chalmers what he didn't do, Chalmers reportedly replied, "Whatever it is she's accusing me of, I didn't do it." At that point, the officer said Chalmers asked if there was any proof he had urinated on the woman. Man, this guy's just deceitful, isn't he? I advised him with the victim's clothing that the victim's clothing was covered in his urine and that the seat was as well, the officer stated and reported. Again, Chalmers denied doing it. The officer said Chalmers also denied that he had been drinking. However, the officer reports that Chalmers smelled of alcohol and his eyes were bloodshot. A preliminary breath test found that Chalmers had a breath alcohol content of 0.175, more than twice the legal limit in Michigan. 0.08. The officer says that Chalmers told him that he was on medication. So what we have is a man not following 1 Peter 5:8, not being sober and vigilant because his adversary, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion seeking someone who devour, and apparently he devoured him so much that this guy got so drunk that he thought he was going to the bathroom and peed on some lady. And this is exactly the kind of stuff that happens when we let our guards down. You know, I think that one of the more beautiful texts when concerning you know, covering ourselves is found simply in Ephesians chapter 6 when it comes to the armor of God. And I think the armor of God gives us a lot of practical lessons on how we are to make sure we're not being attacked by the enemy, or at least giving a foothold. You're going to be attacked. It's just, it is what it is. If you're a believer and not being attacked, just wait, you're going to be, right? So it's one of those things. We look at those texts and we put on that helmet of salvation, and that helmet of salvation, I do believe, has to do with the return of Christ, but also it's not letting thoughts into your head and not letting these things go into your mind and being sober and vigilant. I mean, these are really important. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. One thing I think about when I think of the old breastplate that would have been on there, you know, this hard breastplate in front of you, is that you'd be forced to stand upright and stand upright in the Lord and making sure you're walking in Him. And as you're walking in Him, you should be walking in your gospel shoes, and you should be going forward preaching the gospel. Because as we share the gospel, as we go out, it says in Philemon verse 6, Paul prayed that they would be active in sharing their faith so they would have a full understanding of every good thing they have in Christ. And it says in Isaiah that no word of God comes back void. When we preach it, guys, sometimes maybe it comes back void on them, but it doesn't come back void on us. Let God work in your heart. I will always tell people, go and share the gospel. We should always be reminded of what Jesus did for us on the cross. There's two texts that I think about, well, actually three, both in Peter and in Jude. It talks about, though you know all things, I desire to remind you or bring this to remembrance. And Malachi talks about the book of remembrance, right? But for us and ourselves, being reminded of things. And then it talks about those who get a bad memory when they don't walk in godliness, brotherly kindness, self-control in 2 Peter chapter 1. And it says they become blind and short-sighted and they forget the purification of their past sins. Guys, that's what happens when we don't walk uprightly in the Lord. We have to make sure we're doing that. We have to make sure we walk upright, that breastplate of righteousness keeping us up, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that we're able to just take out the enemy. And then guess what? You put up that shield of faith so when the darts are coming, foom, 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 bam, 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 they're hitting your shield. When the enemy comes with these things, they're hitting your shield. When you give the devil a foothold because you're drinking, and the guy said he was supposedly taking some sort of sleeping pill as well, and to have that blood alcohol content, guys, it's called intoxicated, because you are putting toxins into your blood and you're messing with your brain. Getting drunk is serious, guys. It says, do not be drunk with wine, which causes dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a counterfeit to the Holy Spirit. And this is what will come. And I just have to say this. I'm not going to sit here and be a teetotaler here, but what I'm saying is, watch yourself. If you have to get to a place where you don't know whether or not you're sinning against God in drunkenness, why would you even get close to that? Think about it. When you're looking at a woman, as a man or as a woman looking at another woman like a man, or a man looking at a woman, do you sit and stare and wonder when it's lust? No. Flee sexual immorality. Guys, flee sin. Flee sin. And guess what happens? This is some weird stuff that's going on. And this is what happens when you do not have proper doctrine as well. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of people who have quote unquote right doctrine and fall into sin. Because they could be those people that forget their first love, but they hate the deeds of Nicolaitans, right? We need to make sure that we live in spirit and truth and we love the Lord. That's the first and foremost thing, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. I believe that you first need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you love the Lord your God with all of your mind, you're not going to be putting chemicals in your brain that are going to be throwing them sideways. You're not going to be opening yourself up that way. We need to make sure that we're serious about this and we recognize the catastrophe that could take place. And imagine all the people that are following him. I'm hoping, Lord, please, in Jesus' mighty, powerful name, help this to be an example to that flock of people that are following a blind leader. This man, we pray for his repentance, that he would turn to you and actually have true faith in Jesus Christ. And I know that right here, we are judging those inside the church. We are talking specifically about judging a pastor, teacher, leader, calling him by name, right? Which is totally biblical, who's teaching false things. That's what he's doing. And his actions are also false as well. In fact, in the early church, this was quite common to show their actions and their heresies. In fact, one of the most important documents in the early church and in history, I believe, concerning what people believed at the time in 2nd century is called Against Heresies by Irenaeus. And he would talk about the wicked deeds of Marcion, and he would talk about Valentinus, and he would show their doctrines and their deeds and how they would take widows from their houses and how they would go and sleep with married women and steal. Actually, one of them took, I believe, an elder at Irenaeus's church. I believe it was an elder at his church that he took his wife. And then that wife actually repented, praise God, and came back and admitted her sin to the entire congregation. But nonetheless, this is something that we do. We say, this is false teaching, guys, and that's what's coming out of Bethel. That's why we don't rub arms and say, yeah, they're believers too. They just have different views on stuff. No, we say it's heretical, and we've done the research to be able to say that. 27 hours myself, and now far more than that as we talk here today. So it's really, really important. But I want to talk about that, and it's a good segue to move over into this, because there's a verse that would tell us, as we've been dealing with the church, so this wouldn't necessarily apply here, but this verse has been used and thrown in our faces because we expose wickedness. We show that, hey, this is wicked behavior, right? And some people point out this verse to say, well, we really don't know even. I don't know how it gets to this place, but it does. We really don't know if somebody's a believer or a non-believer, right? And they quote 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. For what business of mine is it to judge outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? So with that verse, I guess, what are we doing? What is Good Fight Ministries doing exposing all this wickedness? We're totally wrong, right, Tony? Why are we doing this? We're exposing people. We're showing the wickedness that the world's doing. How could we be judging the outside world? Let's start in verse 1. Let's get the whole context, right? I think 2020 vision is a great way to read the scriptures. Just as a principle, sometimes you need even more than that. But 2020 vision, I call it, whenever someone gives you a text, read the 20 verses prior and the 20 verses after, and you'll typically be able to find the context. And you'll usually be able to go, okay, now I get what's going on there. Now it makes more sense. And that's really, really important. Context is king. So let's start in verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and sexual immorality of such a kind as does not even exist amongst the Gentiles, namely that someone has his father's wife. So let's start from verse 1. At best, and I bring this out every time, but at best, this person is sleeping with his stepmom, but it could be his own mother, okay? You have become arrogant and have not mourned. Instead, so that one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. So there's a problem. In Corinth, they're accepting someone living in sin into their church and acting as though he's a perfectly good brother. By the way, this sin happens in churches every single day in America. I'm sure other places, but this is where I live, so this is what I'm bringing up. This happens every single day. It's okay. Don't worry. It doesn't matter that you're addicted to porn and you're a drunkard and you beat your wife and you do all this. Just come on in. All are accepted. All are accepted to hear the gospel. Not all are accepted as brothers and kinsmen. We need to make sure we understand that. So let's see. Verse 3. For I, on my part, though absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to turn such a person over to Satan for the destruction of his body, so that the spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. And what's cool is that 2 Corinthians actually shows us that it worked. Right? Him turning him over to Satan, it worked, because what happened? His spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. His spirit was, in fact, as far as we know, the only record we have is his repentance and the scheme of the devil that the Corinthians were now falling in. First acceptance, 2 Corinthians is not acceptance of the repentant. We see that he repented. I think that's pretty awesome. Sometimes it's a good thing, and that's the love of God to turn someone over to Satan. Think about that. Verse 6, your boasting is not good. Boasting, guys. Boasting about having this man at their church who's sleeping with his mother or stepmother. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. For Christ our Passover has been sacrificed, our Passover lamb. He is the unleavened bread that we partake in at communion. Therefore, let's celebrate the feast. Do not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Do you guys see that? Sincerity and truth brings out love, and love cares enough to tell people the truth and cares enough to call them out of it so they would not go to Satan, would not live with Satan, not make a bed with Satan, not sit at the table of devils. We care enough. Verse 9, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. I did not at all mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the greedy or swindlers or the idolaters, for then you would have to leave the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is sexually immoral, or a greedy person, or idolater, or verbally abusive, or habitually drunk, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a person. Why, guys? Why does God say this in his word? The reason is because, guess what? First of all, we have the application of it working when you say, get them out of there. They should not be there. You do not welcome them in and say, oh, just come. Everything's all normal. Everything's just fine. Come sit with us. You're part of the brethren as you live in sin and do not want to repent. We're not talking about somebody who has fallen and stumbled. We're talking about somebody who habitually lives like this, that the narrative of their life is that they are a wicked sinner. 1 John chapter 3 gives us this in more detail and concerning children of God and children of the devil. It has to do with the practice of sin. And 1 John 2 verse 1 tells us that those who do sin have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. But we're talking about those who are habitually sin. Here's the verse. For what business of mine is it to judge outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church, but those who are outside, God judges. Remove the evil person from among yourselves. So what is this text saying, guys? What this text is saying is specifically, this is a non-believer. We are casting a judicial judgment that he is not allowed in fellowship. We are not talking about pagans. We are not talking about atheists. We are not talking about people doing wicked things. The Bible is clear on a couple of things. If you weren't able to judge whether someone was a believer or a non-believer, then guess what? You'd have to be in disobedience to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, which says, do not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Do you understand that? You cannot follow that text if you don't make the judgment, the assessment by the fruit that someone has, if they are a believer or not. You can't even be obedient to that text. What this is specifically talking about is welcoming in somebody as part of your flock that is deliberately walking in sin, and you are welcoming them as a brother. We should not do that. If you meet with someone who is habitually in sin, calling themselves a Christian, you need to call them out in love. And look it, we get to see 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that sort of thing works. That when we show love by casting them out, the point is to bring them back. That's Matthew chapter 18 when it comes to church discipline. It's going one-on-one, going with two, going with taking them before the church. All of that is to bring reconciliation. And how much should you forgive? 70 times 7. That's infinite. Okay, we want people to repent. We don't just expose evil. We don't just call out sin because it's fun. It's actually not fun. It's actually horrible. And you know there's souls at stake. But guess what? 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 12 is specifically talking about a judicial rendering in the church. And it's not talking about exposing wickedness at Ephesians 5:11 says, this is what this show is named after, 5:11 News, that we are not to have fellowship, we're not to have anything in common with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather we are to expose them. And why does it say? It says it's even shameful to have to talk about it. But when everything is exposed, when everything is brought to light, then Christ will shine in their hearts. We expose this, and I can only be a testament to that. If only me was a testament to that. The fact is that I was exposed to, they sold their souls for rock and roll. God opened up my eyes to the wickedness of a pagan that I was, as a quote unquote atheist agnostic. and he opened up and Christ was arisen in my heart, shined, and I had the Holy Spirit inside of me. Let's make sure we understand the text, and let's make sure we are a blessing to others and we care enough to show them what true biblical love is. God bless.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.